Praise the Lord, everyone. Let's spend a few minutes in prayer before we look into the Word. Loving Father, Lord, we thank you for your magnificent grace upon our lives, Lord Jesus, that we are able to, Lord, spend some time in fellowship with you this morning. Lord, we already are much blessed with your presence, with your Word, with the songs that we sang, with the worship that we could provide, with the breaking of the bread, the fellowship that we have. And even this last song, Lord Jesus, all the questions that was asked, Lord Jesus, we can all sum it up. Lord Jesus, what a great friend we have. What a great father we have. What a great relationship we have, Lord Jesus. And also this morning, even through worship, Lord, you guided us. Lord, as we look into the Word again, as we start a brand new week on this last week of January, Lord Jesus, we pray, O Lord, that you will continue to help us, and Lord Jesus, follow your Word faithfully, not get discouraged, not get troubled by the cunning devices of the enemy, but Lord Jesus, you help us to follow you and do it in a way that will bring a smile in your face, Lord Jesus. So Lord, take every act of distraction away from this room. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will continue to be with us as we look into thy precious Word. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Good to see you all. Lord, gave us all a great time yesterday. It was very good to hear the testimonies of Sandeep and his sister. I think that was my highlight. Of course, we have a great joy in seeing all of the great blessings that Lord brings upon each one of our lives. But the just simple fact of you know, how the Lord has brought each one of us into His kingdom and how He has given a U-turn to us, we are able to connect with you. We were able to connect with Sandeep. We were able to connect with Sister Jyoti. When Sister Jyoti said a word like, you said, you know, I'm daughter of a king, you know, and you didn't deserve that. And Sandeep, you also said, you know, you are a God is a testimony of what has happened in each one of our lives. You know, when we look back and see, that's what matters, how we give glory to God. So here we are, last Sunday of January. January is gone, which means 2024 is going to race away from this point. And I know that a fair few of us have been traveling, and there was vacations, and some of us will be starting new. I know Solomon sitting over there is going to find it hard to go to work tomorrow morning. Children will have to start school. We're going to resume all of our Bible studies. We're going to have you know, great opportunities to fight the devil, because devil is going to derail us in every plan that we make. So, however, our desire is to, as we look into this Word, we will stand strengthened. We will not let him win. We will resist the devil, submit to God. And how do you do that is what we will look into the Word today. And I think we all in worship, in many times, even while, you know, when Brother Calvin and Sister Prashanti was praying, if you notice, all of the words in our thoughts are in the same direction, in the same congruence every time we come. You know, they started off by praying, this is the resurrection day. And that's why we're here. It's very important. This is the resurrection day. That word day is the subject of our attention today. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. What verse is that? We'll check that. We'll check that. We'll go into that. This is the day. You know what 1,444 means? 1,444. Nope. Does anyone know what 84,000 means in the context of a day? 84,000 times our heart beats in a day. 84,000 times. It's beating, beating, beating. 1,444 is the amount of minutes in a day. You know, it's very important. This day, 28th of Jan, 2024, today is our day. I know we have special days, like yesterday was a special day. I know in December there were some special days. There were some marriage days, wedding days, birthdays. And I know we quote this verse, when birthdays come, this is the day. But not all days makes us feel like our birthdays. There are some high days and there are some low days. And especially days after a high day is even more low, because we're struggling with all of the things that happen on a high day, right? And when I say a high day, you mean anything. Like if you have, think about Christmas, or if you've gone on a long holiday and then come back the few days after that is hard. The Lord is telling us in 2024, as we look into the Word, the psalmist wrote, in it, every day is important. We are asked to consider, as we go through this year, the gift of 24 hours. Maybe that is our message. The gift of 24 hours. It's significant. I was seeing a video of somebody giving a CPR. You know, when you give a CPR, you compress your heart, because you compress about 1.5 centimeters. 100 times it will go and pump the blood back into what is stopped. 100 times you do it, significant amount of times, the heart starts to beat again. See, 84,000 times our heart was beating yesterday. We were supposed to give thanks to that. There are 8 billion people in this world, approximately. 100,000 people are not there today as well. That's the average number of people who will not see another day. So I'm humbly requesting myself to teach me to number my days. Do not walk away any day thinking you will get tomorrow. We would not. Psalmist in Psalms 118 verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. This is the day. Tomorrow will be the day. Day after tomorrow will be the day. Every day this week, we still have 4 days left this month, will be the day. It is important. It is important. Why? Because we will rejoice. Now learn that fact. We have to rejoice. Otherwise, there is something wrong. And how will we rejoice? This world is not suited to rejoice every day. But a lot of us here today rejoiced. We thank the Lord by hearing the word of our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. What does that matter? It does matter. What is that is significantly different to all of us here? We have eternal life. Is that a casual thing? Yeah. See, this is what the Spirit is telling us today. It's marvelous how everything that we sing, everything that we read, everything that we worship, everything that we pray, why we're here this morning, is to recognize the gift of 24 hours. There is much to thank the Lord. And it says we have to be glad in it, not from yesterday, today. So we are supposed to be glad today. We are supposed to rejoice today. And we're supposed to rejoice tomorrow, 29th of January, 30th of January, 31st of January, and then will come another day, another month. We have no control over our own breath. We have no control on many things in our life. But the incidents that happen around our life change our life. It changes to the fact that we stop appreciating what we have. You know, I spoke about 1,444. That's the amount of minutes in a day. The sun has revolved, earth has revolved around one full rotation. Sun has set, sun has risen, and it will happen again tomorrow. You know, I learned to, you know, it always happened to me when I come back to Australia after a vacation, I just thank the Lord for this land. There is much to thank the Lord in where we live. There is much to thank the Lord in our salvation. There is much to thank the Lord in the eternal life that He has given us. You know, an hour is too short if we think about and worry about it. You know, we need to plan our days, not our years. Years is too far. We have to plan today because that's the task at hand. You have today. You do not have tomorrow. You have this moment. You do not have any control over what is going to happen on 29th. You can plan for it, but what you can execute is only today. You can execute your behavior today. You can execute the choices that you make today. You can execute the directions that you will walk today. You can execute what is important for you today. You can execute what you're going to do for today because yesterday is gone. You think about it. It's very important that as we, as a little flock in this assembly, as we are gathered here, we have very little control on our own heartbeats. Just beats after beats after beats after beats after beats after beats after beats. So I want to consider a few readings this morning, especially how do you actually live in the light of the gift of 24 hours. I want to look towards that one last day that the thief had on the cross. It was only one day he had while he was watching everything. So let's look into that. And while we look into this, we know about the story, but carefully observe the importance of that moment in this thief's life. There were two thieves, remember? The story, Luke 23, turn with me. We will look into three renderings for today. But the idea here is as we look into this thief's, look at the importance of that moment when the thief was convicted of something. Think about the importance of that moment when you were born again. It's important. Because if you would have said, I will think about this next week, you know, next week would have been too late. It's all in that moment you have to make a choice. This thief made a choice. And the choice was his broken heart. The choice was selecting on the grace of God and being fully saturated in gratitude. He was fully saturated in gratitude. So that's the biggest formula for us to rejoice. This is the day. How would you rejoice in this day? When we look at that day, when He rescued us from eternal destruction. And if you let's read this rendering of this criminal. Here is two criminals. Luke chapter 23, verse 39. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed Him, saying, if you are the Christ, save yourself and us. And if you stop there, this criminal, this thief, is wanting something to get out of the cross. He wants to get out of that cross. Did he deserve to go to the cross? He did. But what is he asking for? If you are the Christ, save yourself and us. Want something that a lot of people, when they go through trials, are asking straight, help me out. I want to get out. Save me. Save us. The attitude of the other, but the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? See, both these people's hearts are quite different. Quite different in the fact one wants to find a shortcut. The other one understood that he didn't deserve, the other, the third person on the cross didn't deserve to be there. His eyes was opened when he looked at that Christ. We indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. This is how the spiritual eyes of this man was opened. We need to go back every day in the morning. We get up and see, this was the biggest battle the Lord Jesus Christ won for us. He opened our eyes. Our salvation is an absolute miracle. Because remember, devil was contesting for our lives. He wanted us to be with him eternally. Brother Vijay read the verse today. We will read that today. It's very relevant. He wanted us to be in the resurrection of condemnation, rotting with him in eternal fire. We have been rescued out of that eternal fire into eternal life. What do we understand about eternity? Very little. But the call today is, as we progress every day this year, we can get up and thank the Lord for that eternal life he has given to us. We deserved to go to the cross. We deserve to suffer the agony and the pain. We deserve to be like the other thief. Our eyes could have been completely closed. We could have been very rich and we would have had no need for salvation. We could have been not broken in our heart. We would have had all sorts of precious things in life, would have given no space for God to work. Many things that God did not give us was so that we could come to that brokenness of accepting him. So our salvation is very important. That day that we chose to walk with him was very important, because we chose not to work on our own things. We emptied it all, just like we want to do it every day. And this thief said, but this man has done nothing wrong. How do you even get this understanding? This man has done nothing wrong. This thief got that understanding. And then he said to Jesus, Lord. You know, that's a gift to be able to call the Lord, not by words, by reality. He called the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees everyone the way they are, their conditions. In Matthew chapter 7 saying, not all who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of God. He sees the attitude of my heart and your heart when you call him, Lord, thank you. He sees that because he knows exactly what's going on in our hearts, in our minds, in what condition, why we are saying thank you, what do we expect after the thank you. He sees it all. This man, this thief, said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He understood what his grace meant. He understood what it meant to be in paradise. He understood. His eyes were open. He was a new man. That day was his deciding factor. That is the day that he could say thank you. He was not left on that cross. He is not going to be left on that cross. We are going to see him in eternity. That was a very special day for him. We all had a special day. Never forget this year that special day was very, very costly to our Savior. And that's how we understand, that's how we make the most out of the day, because that is our journey, that is our faith, that is the day that we never should stop giving thank you. Remember the in Luke chapter 17, I'm going to read this, the story of the 10 lepers. Jesus was interested in the lepers who returned, and you know what? He was also interested on the 9 lepers who did not choose to return. I guess there is some spiritual in there. When those 9 lepers did not come, Jesus inquired, where are the other 9? I healed 10 of them. He healed 10 lepers. Consider leprosy a very, very debilitating disease. Have you ever seen a person suffering of leprosy? Anyone who hasn't seen? Raise your hands. You haven't seen someone suffering of leprosy? You just have to come to Bombay. Too many of them. Too many of them. You know, they go around begging in bowls. Their fingers begin to crumble. There is boils in their body. And some stage, the biggest problem is not the leprosy itself, it's the insensitivity to touch. Now, what that means is if one part of the body is beginning to have leprosy, that part of the body's sensation begins to disappear. That is what kills that person of leprosy, sensation. You know, if he's playing with fire or working in a place, there are many people with leprosy who have killed themselves because they don't feel the burn. They don't feel when they are using a tool, if a nail goes through there, they don't feel that. You know, leprosy is a good comparison to sin that we had. Sin severs the consciousness of the bad things that it does. The more you sin, we become seared with the conscience of what we are doing. That's what sin does. And here, in this 10 lepers, Jesus was very interested in where are the 9. So let us read some of those verses. Verse 11 says, "Now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." Why they were standing far off? They knew their shame. They could not come publicly into places. You know, people, you know, it's a disease that, you know, spreads. So they were, it's a curse. You know, there were many lepers healed in Jerusalem. These days it's becoming a dwindling minority, and that's why, you know, we had very few hands that were raised. I was saying, but back in the day, there was leprous people. You know, even back in Old Testament, leprosy was given to people who were cursed, and things like that. So they were standing there in a certain village, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Why do you think that is highlighted, that he was a Samaritan? What is that? Maybe the rest were Jews, who knows? But this guy was not supposed to be understanding what he was saying. He fell at the face of his feet, giving him thanks. This is the formula for making every day count. Falling every day and thanking him for being compassionate on us and cleaning my leprous sins and your leprous sins. And that's why when we hear the testimonies, when we hear one another how we have been brought from eternal damnation to eternal life, we can relate to that because we also have been brought in a miracle, in a miraculous way. So Jesus answered and said to, "Where there are not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? He is interested in the 9. He is probably looking at each one of us and wanting us to thank him daily. For what? Eternal life. For the ability to believe in the Son. For the ability to live in the miracle of why he chose us. For the ability to understand that we came through the narrow door. For the ability to understand in Matthew chapter 7, when the Sermon on the Mount was finished, he said some 2 verses that makes a big difference to each one of us. There were 2 ways, there were 2 gates, there were 2 destinations. We came through the narrow door of the Lord Jesus Christ. The highway, the promised highway to heaven is actually a highway to hell. Nobody is telling welcome to hell and bringing people into hell. They are cheating people, saying if you do this, this and this and this, you will attain eternal life. The highway to destruction. We have been rescued out of it. And it says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 14, difficult is that way. Difficult. The word that is used is difficult. It's difficult. Because you know what? Satan can blind our eyes. But now our eyes are opened. We know what is eternal life. Every Lord's Day we come an opportunity to break the bread. Not because it's any sort of a ritual. Absolutely not. We get an opportunity to wash ourselves. We get an opportunity to cleanse. We get an opportunity to prepare ourselves. When? Daily. Tomorrow as well we want to do that. So, how do you actually dwell in this daily? By just marveling at why did he choose me? You know that thief? He marveled. That one leper? He marveled that Jesus decided to show compassion on him. I think we should marvel every day, no matter at what point in time he came to us. Every day we need to marvel why. And that's how we start our day. And that will give us the ability to work 24 hours by 24 hours. Otherwise, we'll be too much into the future or affected too much by the past. Our past can be very, very hard, and we can change nothing about it. We can learn from it. The only thing that we have in any control is what you're going to do in the 24 hours today. What are you going to do tomorrow? And you start your day saturating your day by thanking him. That's a great start. This is the day that the Lord has made. That's a great start. Don't do it only on special occasions. Do it daily. To be alive, to be breathing, to be able to understand, to hear, to talk, to see, to have two legs, have two hands, to feel the sensation of touch, to enjoy taste, to be in the company of one another who loves the Lord. It's a dwindling minority people who love the Lord. We have 1,000 differences about us. The way we have been brought up, the way we look, the way we have accomplished things in life. But what's unifying us is our Lord Jesus Christ, same Father who has died for us. It's a unifying thing. So when we come together every Lord's Day, this is what we are thanking today. We want to rejoice. So saturate yourself in His grace. And the grace is through the gratitude that we have for what the Lord has done for us. John chapter 5, turn with me. This was Vijay looked at, and I'm going to just reiterate this. What has the Father given to the Father God given to our Father Lord Jesus Christ? What? Watch this two few verses I'm going to read. Verse 22 says, "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son." That's our Lord Jesus Christ. He is going to judge this world. That's his primary role. He's being given to him to judge. "That all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Father, who does not honor the Son, does not honor the Father who sent him." Now watch, this is the important thing for our understanding as we progress through this. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." This is a big statement for us to ponder. Everlasting life. You know what? Because we have passed from death to life. "Most assuredly," this verse says, "I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so has he granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. Everybody will be resurrected. If you believe in the Son, you will be resurrected to life. If not, you will be alongside the devil in the place that was prepared for him. We have been rescued from death to life. Very important. That's the primary reason that will motivate us, or should motivate us, so that we are not found like the 9 lepers that Lord Jesus Christ was looking for. Where are they? We need to be in the first thing that sets the wheels in motion for our day is being, having that attitude of thanking him for that. I know we can do that in our mind, but it is going to be quite different if we do it together with our heart. Now, I know a lot of us do that, right? But just a reiteration. So that's the first thing. What do we do next? Entrust our day to his oversight. Firstly, I said, saturate yourself daily in his grace. Watch that word grace, that is important, because grace would show us how to say thanks. Oversight will help us when we fall off the rails. Will we fall off the rails? We will. Does Satan want us to fall off the rails? He does. Will we get deviated today? We will. Tomorrow, we will. How are we going to look at that and work? We ask him to be the one who is showing us what to do daily. His oversight in all what we do is important. And that's how great men and women have worked their way. If we go back into Luke chapter 11, this is a good, we know this verse by heart. Give us this day our daily bread. In fact, give us day by day our daily bread. Day by day. Each day is the importance. Of course, we can take it in a context of bread in the sense of food. This is more than food, isn't it? Our daily needs, our daily walk, we entrust on him. Our needs, no matter what they are, no matter what strata our age group is, be it we are young, going through a brand new year, studying, exams, jobs, work, staying at home, not staying at home, looking for a job, looking to stay back, no matter what that is, the one who has given his life is telling us this morning to entrust our day by day to his oversight. And you know what? He is willing to guide us. He is willing to encourage us. And this book, this Bible, is full of verses that will give us encouragements that we have no idea that is being hidden here. It's an absolute gem. It's an absolute gem to the point he is telling that, don't you worry, I have it all covered. I have it all, don't worry. Matthew chapter 6 says in verse 25, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor what your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? This is all very natural. He understands that. This word was relevant 2,000 years ago and it is relevant even now. It's not even in 21st century, it is relevant. Look at the birds of the air. He is pointing us to this fact. Look at the birds of the air. Look at them. For they neither sow nor they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all of these things the Gentiles seek. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let us take this as a word of encouragement, perpetually as an evergreen word. The one who clothes the lilies, the one who looks after the birds, the one who looks after this plants, he's going to look after us. Who, every one of us is significantly important than that. Because we are very important, you know, we make choices. I'm not talking about trivial choices. There are many choices that are of immense importance that we make daily. We can choose how we will spend our time in 24 hours. That's the biggest choice we make. What will we do today? We're all here. We'll all go back home. We will start another day. You're making a choice what we're going to do it for the 24 hours. I'm going to make a choice how I will spend my 24 hours. But if that choice is driven with the oversight of our Lord, those choices will naturally fall in a very nice place. How do you find the oversight of the Lord? In this word of God. When you thank him for what he did for us, he will open our eyes. Who are we? You will remember what Sister Jyoti said yesterday. I don't know if everyone could hear. What did we call ourselves? Prince and princesses, sister? Yeah? Well, if we are prince and princesses, we are not going to behave like one once in a while. And we will not look at watch night service 31st of 2024 and say that we could do this and we could do that and there are so many things I couldn't do. Lord is telling us, today is your service night. Today is the day. Today. Today is 28th of January is the day. You can only influence that to make the choices that will entrust our life into him. We have to put this in practice. So my desire for our little flock and myself and to our families and to the young ones and the people that we come in contact with is every minute that you have conversation with one another, rethink, is this something that the Lord Jesus Christ is approving of? Would he approve that? Because we can talk to him. He will talk to us through the word. Anything that we do that drives to personal happiness, evaluate. Evaluate that. Because if it's driving some personal achievement, it does not align with what, again, Brother Vijay, you shared this verse in Matthew chapter 16. It's there in Luke as well. We will look at that. And that's the third point. Evaluate. Every day, evaluate. What are we doing? Where are we going? You could be reading something that is inappropriate. You could be looking at something that is inappropriate. You could be doing nothing and wasting your time. That could be inappropriate. You could be, you could get stuck in the worries of this world or the cares of this world and be worried about it and forget to give thanks for your salvation. You could forget that we are eternally secure from destruction and we have been bought from death to life. This is all the cunning devices of the enemy. Remember, he is like a roaring lion waiting whom to devour. He's standing at the door. He's standing at the door. You have to open the door for him to come in. What door would you open today? Tomorrow, what would I open for him to come in? Because his desire is for us. Remember? Remember Cain? That conversation in Genesis chapter 3, it desires to come in. So as we keep going with every day in 2024, days will go quickly and will come to an end. We have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All what we have done in this bodily life will be evaluated. We will stand there. This is not the unbelievers who are going to stand there. There is going to be every false word, every word that didn't bring glory to him will be brought through. Every time that we spend will be brought through. The accounts will be opened. The accounts will be opened and it will be evaluated. There is an evaluation. Abraham passed the evaluation. That was the birth of the nation of Israel. We looked at his faith. We looked at how he gave what God gave him back. His son. What God gave him, he gave it back. God asked, was a test. There will be a test that will come our way. You know, if you are feeling discouraged because of anything that is going on in this life, you need to look at, just maybe even look at, walk through the cemetery and see the young children lying in that grave. Maybe walk into the terminally sick ward in Westmead Children's Hospital. Or go in and look at the amount of people suffering from terminally ill diseases. Or even look at the amount of people who have rejected Christ. And we are a few minority. Remember, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 says, narrow is the way. It's narrow. It's absolutely narrow. We are all living wonders that God has chosen us. He chose us. That's why we want to entrust our day to his oversight. Lastly, we want to accept his direction. We make small decisions daily. We want to not forget what is his direction. This is not, if we all took our cars and or even buses or whatever, however we came here, we all took a certain way to come here. I don't know if anyone went to the city and came back. You certainly wouldn't have been here at 10 o'clock. There is a cost of our Christian walk if we get stuck in the wrong way. So we need him to direct. We need him to show us what to do. What to do today. What to do tomorrow. And that's probably enough for our plans daily. Because we cannot take anything more than that. The facets of life are so sufficient is the day's trouble. So plan your day today as if there probably couldn't be a tomorrow. Then your priorities would automatically align. Isn't that what happens when people, last year, brother, you were talking about your sister, his testimony, I was at the funeral, I remember those words, the last few weeks and the extension of those few weeks through prayer that was given, and then everything, you know, the choices that was made in the light of this is all coming to an end. So what to do? Call the people that matter. The things of this world just sometimes don't matter at all. But then other things, what do we do? It comes. We are also reminded this morning as we are going to finish basically first month and we only have another 48 weeks left. If God gives us 48 weeks, if God gives our near and dear ones, let's not assume it would happen. Let's not assume it will happen even in our own assembly. It's not assumed. It might not happen. So what would you do in that case? You would reevaluate what needs to be done. In Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Brother Vijay read this verse in Matthew 16:24. In 23 it says, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself. This is it. What is the direction that God is giving to us today? Denying himself. And I'll tell you, this is very hard because ourselves speaks way more louder than anyone else. We have so many of our own desires of the old man, but we've been asked to crucify it. See, if there is any taking the cross activity today, let's not assume that we're going to take the cross next week or the week after that. It's asking that word there daily is the key to the gift of 24 hours. That is the key to today. That's the key to this year. That's the key to this month. Still 3 days left. What are we going to do to deny ourselves and take up the cross daily? That's what followers of Christ did. That's what Paul, when he finished the race, he could confidently say, I have ran the race. You know, this week we had one sister's funeral coming up in Padstow. Johnson was, I have not spent much time with that sister in Padstow, and Johnson was telling something about how she would serve in sister's meeting. You said 40 sandwiches or something like that. Now, I haven't spent much time. I probably might have seen that sister, but I'm sure that was what meant to take up the cross, you know, not just in the activity of the food, but following him would mean suffering. There is no joy in suffering, but there is joy in suffering. What does that mean? If we naturally are not able to get what we need, we don't feel happy about it. And that could be in a home, that could be in a child's life, it could be in a young one's life, it could be in a husband's life, it could be in a wife's life, it could be, if we're not getting that, we're not happy. The Lord is saying it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about, are you taking the cross today? And if the Lord is happy, that's, you're in the right path. You are in the direction of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have accepted his direction. His direction is telling you, take up the cross once in a while. See, this is the recipe for our walk daily. But we wouldn't do it intentionally until in the morning when we are sitting down in prayer through, or in the evening when we finish our day, when we are evaluating. And I would encourage highly all of us, especially ones with children, do sit down and spend some time evaluating the day and planning for the next day. And that is what, because that would give us the direction to what the Ancient of Days is telling us. Ancient of Days wants us to rejoice, not in the circumstances. Rejoice in your suffering. It says rejoice in your suffering, because if you suffered for him, you have done well. You have done well. And we are here to suffer for him. This walk is not easy. It's not going to be easy. If it is very easy, then evaluate. Then we are feeding our own desires. What are we suffering? And I know that a lot of us in our assembly do a lot of things selflessly. So well done. It's not my well done. It would be the Lord Jesus Christ's well done. That will be not invisible to him. It will be visible to him. He is the Lord of all. Continue to make the today heavily directed by him. Yesterday's regret, let it go. Let it go. Anything we did, we can't change it. But you can change today. If you're holding something against someone, you can change that today. You can change that today. Don't be too reliant on tomorrow. Tomorrow may not come. Don't make too many plans into the future. Let's just trust Him every day, walk with Him daily. Let's say in the morning, give us this day our daily bread. One of the verses that speaks to me is what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3. He said, "What things were gained to me, these things I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them rubbish that I may gain Christ." We have a daily profit and loss equation to tally. If it's gain for you, it's loss for Christ. If it's loss for you, it's gain for Christ. And that is what we are battling daily. That is what we are battling. What is it for? Is it gain for me or is it loss? And if it is, Paul said it is like dung. If we gain something, we can't take it into eternity. What we can take is how we thanked Him daily. How we were having His oversight over our lives. How we were accepting His direction over our direction. You know, I'm going to conclude with this verse. We know this verse. I actually knew this verse by heart, but one thing I didn't know, that there were three verses in this little verse that we all know. So maybe we will read all this verses, three verses this is, and then that will give the foundation for us to keep going every day with the same attitude. And turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Shall we all read this together? Verse 16, rejoice always. Verse 17, no one's rejoicing loudly. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Loving Father, Lord Jesus, as we finish this Lord's Day, Lord, let that not be the finish of your work. Lord Jesus, it's only 12:30 and there is another 12 hours left in this day, and there will be another 24 hours given to us if it's your will. Lord Jesus, but thank you for directing our attention to this gift of 24 hours. Lord Jesus, help us to understand, Lord Jesus, who we are daily. Lord Jesus, when everything works well, when things don't work well for us as well, Lord Jesus, let us not forget who we are in Christ Jesus. Yesterday, Sister Jyoti and Brother Sandeep reminded, we are prince and princesses in the Lord Jesus Christ, undeserving souls. Lord, help me be like that thief who seized that moment and chose to follow you. And Lord Jesus, you said this day that thief will be in paradise. Lord Jesus, that promise given to that thief is even applicable to me. Lord, help each one of us to be saturated in recognizing the gratitude of your grace. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us this week, this year, this month, or any month you think is appropriate for us to have, Lord Jesus, to have your oversight upon our lives in the things that we do, in the things of importance, or even in the things that we have no idea that we are walking with the devil. Lord, show us. If we walk that way, Lord Jesus, we know that you have provided for all of those things to be still covered through the precious power of your blood. So help us to walk daily in full confidence. The one who has clothed the lilies better than Solomon in his glory, and this whole flora and fauna of this earth, the one who spins this earth around the earth, the one who keeps the millions of liters of gallons of water on the sea by the power of gravity, the one who has placed the stars in different parts of the world, the different things that we still are yet to see, the one who is coming to receive us into eternal life, Lord, help us to ask oversight from that magnificent resource. Help us overwhelm ourselves daily that you have chosen us. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us to seek your will. Help us to deny ourselves. Lord Jesus, there is much more denials that we will have to do before we see you. Lord Jesus, help us to work under you, under your direction. Lord Jesus, we only have you as the one that we can trust. Lord Jesus, we have you as our friend. We have you as our comforter. We have you as our all in all, the one who died for us. And Lord Jesus, help us marvel in those facts daily, Lord Jesus, so that devil will not rob us of the joy that you want us to have. So Lord, as we read in Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 6, help us to pray without ceasing. Lord, next Saturday as we come together as a little assembly, wanting to pray for our little activities that you have granted to us, Lord, we pray that you will make it a blessing. We pray that, Lord Jesus, it will be filled with your direction going forward in the various ministries that we have been privileged to have, Lord Jesus. And Lord, underscoring all of that, in everything, in our trials, in our joys, in our sadness, Lord, help us to give thanks. Lord, once again, thank you for being our King and giving us this brand new Lord's Day. And Lord Jesus, as we walk away from this place, Lord, direct our paths, be guided by your precious word. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.